The following is a class on the Srimad Bhagavatam. 5th Canto, Chapter number 14, Text number 10. Given by His Grace, Sriman Sankarshan Dasatikari. Recorded on September 20th, 2013, in New Delhi, India.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Kvachit sakrit avagata vaishaya vaitya svayam para bhujhana de paramshita. Smritishtaya eva marichitaya parangstang eva bedhavati. Translation and purport by Srila Prabhupada. The conditioned soul sometimes personally appreciates the futility of sense enjoyment in the material world, and he sometimes considers material enjoyment to be full of miseries. However, due to his strong bodily conception, his memory is destroyed, and again he runs after material enjoyment just as an animal runs after a mirage in the desert. Purport by Srila Prabhupada. The main disease in material life is the bodily conception. Being baffled again and again in material activity, the conditioned soul temporarily thinks of the futility of material enjoyment, but he again tries the same thing. By the association of devotees, a person may become convinced of the material futility, but he cannot give up his engagement, although he is very eager to return home back to Godhead. Under these circumstances, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, who is situated in everyone's heart, compassionately takes away all the material possessions of such a devotee. As stated in the Srimad Bhagavatam, 10th Canto, 88th Chapter, Text number 8, Yashyaham Anugrinami Hadishyeta Dhanam Shanai. Lord Krishna says that he takes everything away from the devotee whom he especially favors when that devotee is overly attached to material possessions. When everything is taken away, the devotee feels helpless and frustrated in society, friendship, and love. He feels that his family does not care for him any longer, and he therefore completely surrenders himself into the lotus feet of the Supreme Lord. This is a special favor granted by the Lord to a devotee who cannot fully surrender to the Lord due to a strong bodily conception. It's explained in Chaitanya Charitamrita, Madhya 22:39. Ami vigya e murke vishaya kene diba. The Lord understands the devotee who hesitates to engage in the Lord's service, not knowing whether he should again try to revive his material life. After repeated attempts and failures, he fully surrenders to the lotus feet of the Lord. The Lord gives him directions, and attaining happiness, he forgets all material engagement. Vandeham Shri Guru Shri Jatapata Kamalam Shri Gurun Vaishnavamscha Shri Rupam Sagrajatam Sahagana Raghunatan Vitam Dam Sajivam Sadaitam Savadudam Brijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam
Shri Radha Krishna Padam Sahagana Ladita Shri Vishakon Vitamstra.
So, would you like to have all your material possessions taken away right now? You'd like it? All right. You can give them to me, I'll take them. Actually, we would like to keep our material possessions. That's the fact. We liked our house, our car, our family, our possessions. We want to keep, isn't it? We want to keep them. So, what's the deal here? I mean, the deal is this. If you're overly attached to them, then you're at risk of having them taken away. If you're detached from them and using them in Krishna's service, Krishna gave you more. If you can use every single rupee you have purely in Krishna's service, Krishna can give you crores and crores of rupees. You understand my point? He can make you the richest man in India. If you purely use every single paisa in the service of the Lord. But if you misspend even one farthing for sense gratification, there is risk, you see. So people often ask me, they say, well, you know, Krishna says, yat karoshi yad ashnasi yad jahosi dadasi yat tapashashi kaunte yatat kadushva madarpanam. Whatever you do, whatever you eat, whatever you offer or give away, do that, O son of Kunti, as an offering unto me. What is the practical application, they want to know? How can I offer my job to Krishna? I'd like to know how to do it. It's very simple. What does job mean? It means income, right? You don't work for free, do you? No. It means income. So whose income is it? It's my income. I earned it, right? Hey, you're in Maya. You are in Maya. If you think it's your money because you earned it. Don't you remember Krishna says, Bhoktaram Dakatapasam Sarvalokamaheshvadam. That's all for my enjoyment, he says. It's my money. Lakshmi is mine. She's massaging my lotus feet, not yours. You see? So that money, that is all Krishna's money. And if you remember that and you spend it wisely for him, you see, and he won't take it away and give you more. But if you're a little loose, you know, well, some money for Krishna, some money for sense gratification, you're running the danger of having it all taken away. I was just talking to one Mataji. I was just gave a lecture the other day on Bhaktivinoda's appearance day in Bhaktivinoda Manor in London. At the end of the class, when Mataji came, he said, oh, it's horrible, I've lost my house, I've lost this, I've lost everything. And said, Mataji, you're very, Krishna is favoring you. He's giving you a very, very special mercy. She was complete distress. She says, everything's been taken away from me. She said, I've lost everything. Said, you should be very, very grateful and happy how Krishna has blessed you, I told her. Prabhupada always gives himself as an example, you see. At one point, his business was taking off like a rocket, you know. He became the sole distributor for Bose's laboratory in northern India. The original chemical pharmaceutical business in India was Bose's laboratory in Calcutta. And Prabhupada was the exclusive distributor in northern India, if you can imagine. He was becoming actually a very wealthy man, but then everything was taken away. His factory burned down. It was all lost. Even his first spiritual attempt, the League of Devotees in Jhansi, that was also taken away. His business was gone. He had gotten established a mandir in Jhansi. His mantra was taken away. His business was finished. His family, he had nothing. He was completely a pauper, a total pauper. But he had one opulence. You know what that was? The order of his spiritual master. It's the only thing he had. The only thing Prabhupada had was the order of his spiritual master, that you must spread this Krishna consciousness to the English-speaking world. He held on to that desire as his very life and soul. In the very beginning, he accepted that. This is the goal of my life. He didn't know how in the world he could ever do that. But it didn't matter, because that was the order of Guru Maharaj. Spread the Krishna consciousness to the English-speaking world. So he embraced that order tightly within his heart. And he never let go of that order. And because of that, he became the most powerful Vaishnavacharya in history. Spreading Krishna Bhakti where it had never been spread. The land of the Mlechas. Mlechadesh. Mlechadesh. You see? It's now become Krishna Desh also. Iskandesh. All over the world, you see. The land of the Mlechas is being transformed by Prabhupada, you see. So, this is our family business, you see. Spreading Krishna consciousness. We are the Iskand, we are the Prabhupada family. And our family business is to spread Krishna Bhakti to every home, to every heart, and every corner of the world. So if you will take this mission, you know what Prabhupada told us in Los Angeles? This is before we had any Indians in the movement. One time we had one Indian in the movement, and that was Prabhupada, the only Indian. It was all a bunch of American hippie boys and girls, and that was it. And one Indian gentleman named Srila Prabhupada, and that was it. He said, all you American and it was some Europeans too, he said, all you American and European devotees, you make your life successful in Krishna consciousness, become guru, and deliver the whole world. That's the order Prabhupada gave us. So now it's so wonderful, to see how Krishna consciousness is spreading here in India. No one ever thought. I remember the first time I went to Mayapur, it was all Westerners. And there was a few Bengali boys that joined me. Wow, look, some local Indians have joined. There was, maybe 20. It was hundreds of Americans and Europeans and Australians in the Mayapur festival. And a little contingent of Bengalis. Oh, wow, this is really cool. Some Indian boys have joined ISKCON. Wow. Now the demographics have shifted. You know, you go there, there's all Indians and a few people from outside of India. It's wonderful. You see, out here in the land of Krishna, people are waking up and realizing that material sense gratification, Western style, material sense gratification is not the purpose of existence. The purpose of existence is to follow the great sages of India. This is the greatest culture in the world. They think, well, to become materially advanced, we have to follow the West. But you know what? India was the richest, materially the richest place on the earth a few centuries ago. And then she was still holding, and the people were still holding the culture. I read the writings of one European trader named Marco Polo, who came by land route to India. Columbus was looking for the ocean route for trade business. That's why he went off looking. He found America instead. Because India was the wealthiest place, and they wanted to trade with India to bring all kinds of opulent goods to Europe where they could get big money for them. And Marco Polo, he wrote that this is the wealthiest place in the whole world. And one British member of parliament also visited India. He was amazed that everything was clean, there were no beggars, and everybody was very nicely situated. It was a very clean, honest place. He wrote how amazing this country was. So So all this deterioration, all the filth, now people are spitting everywhere, passing stool and urine everywhere, throwing garbage everywhere. This is this degradation of what was once the head of Brahminical culture on this planet, you see, the clean Brahminical culture. It's because people are turning their back on Krishna. But by bringing Krishna back, you see, by bringing Krishna back in the center, this is the land of Krishna. It's not the land of Taj Mahal, like people think. Every time you say India, they think, I'm going to India. Oh, you're going to see the Taj Mahal, right? Well, I've never seen the Taj Mahal, and I've come here 20 or 30, maybe, how many times have I been here? 20 times. Now I'm coming three times a year is my latest standard. It was once a year, then twice a year, now sometimes three times a year I'm coming here. And I've never seen the Taj Mahal. Probably never will. You see, Taj Mahal is not Indian culture. You see, it's not Indian culture. Krishna is Indian culture. Indian culture means Krishna culture. This is the land of Krishna. So, if we can simply put Krishna back in the center of our lives, you see, become true Indians. I would think I was an Indian in my previous birth. Because the first time I came here, I was just amazed. I landed in the Delhi airport in the middle of the night. Even in the Delhi airport, I went into ecstasy. If you can imagine. I really felt I'd returned to my motherland, you see, when the first time I came to India. Even in the Delhi airport, of all places. So if we can simply bring Krishna back to the center. And how do you do that? You have to do everything for Krishna. Stop serving your damn material senses. You see, they're okay. Use them in Krishna's service. But if you try to gratify them separately, it's simply rascal business. Rascal business. We don't hate our senses. We bless them, actually, by engaging in Krishna service. Let my eyes see the beautiful form of the deity. Let my ears hear the wonderful, sweet name of Krishna. It's vibrating. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama. Let my tongue taste the prasad of Krishna, you see. This is where it all begins. Jivado. It all begins with your tongue. It's confirmed by Srila Rupa Goswami in the Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu. Atakshi Krishna Namadi Nabhaved Grayam Indriyai Sevan Mukhe Hijivado Svayam Evas Padatyadaha. It is not possible to realize the transcendental name, fame, forms, pastimes, asharas, etc. That amazing, beautiful, amazingly beautiful, unlimited Lord Sri Krishna with your blunt, materially contaminated senses. But when you purify your senses, beginning with your tongue, by engaging in the service of Krishna, then you can realize the transcendental name, fame, forms, pastimes, entourage, qualities, paraphernalia, teachings, dharma, etc., etc., etc. of Krishna. Just this tongue here. It all hinges on the tongue. How do you engage your tongue? Do you talk nonsense all day long, prajalpa? You see, kakakra, 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 village talk. You see, or do you go, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare. Do you know how the snake captures the frog in the dark night? He can't see the snake. But he has the snake has a very good sense of hearing. It's like radar. He can tune in on that, where that sound is coming from. He hears that frog croaking, cuck-a-craw, 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 and zhup, he goes and eats that frog, you see. So if you talk nonsense, you see, you croak like a toad, talking nonsense, talk, then you're inviting the snake of death, please come and get me, I'm here. But if you chant the holy name of Krishna, if you talk about Krishna, that amazing person who is standing on the bank of the Jamuna during the full moon night of the Sharad season, wearing a yellow dhoti and a peacock feather in his hair, and placing his flute to his lips, which are like newly blossomed twigs, his threefold bending form shining very brightly in the moonlight. If you will engage in discussions of that amazing person whose every limb, who each and every limb sees, maintains, and manifests the infinite universes, both spiritual and mundane. You see? If you will tune your consciousness in to that amazing person who's tending the cows, yielding all desire in abodes built with spiritual gems, surrounded by millions of purpose trees, and always served with great reverence and affection by hundreds of thousands of Lakshmis or gopis. See? If you will tune into that person, who's an undifferentiated entity, as there is no distinction between potency and the possessor thereof, in his work of creation of millions of worlds, his potency remains inseparable. All the universes exist in him, and he is present in each and every one of the atoms that is scattered throughout the universes at one and the same time. Brahmaji says, such is the primeval Lord whom I adore. If you will take your tendency to adore, to worship a hero, we all have that tendency. We all want to worship a hero. So take your hero worship tendency, your tendency to want to adore someone, and repose that in Krishna. You see? Be a hero worshiper of Krishna. Krishna is my hero. You see? Amazing Krishna. Who is worshipped with love by Srimati Radharani. She's the embodiment of the ecstatic potency, possessed of the Sisti for artistic activities, and the company of her confidant Sakis, who are the embodiments of the extensions of her bodily form. Just imagine having that, who can qualify to have that kind of a girlfriend? See, only Krishna can qualify to have that kind of a girlfriend. We don't qualify for such a girlfriend. Only Krishna qualifies for such a girlfriend. Mm-hmm. So you shouldn't be envious. Don't be envious. Do you realize we're here because we're envious of Krishna? That's why we're here. We were envious of Krishna, and that's why we're here. So we have to realize we have this disease of envy of God, and now we have to give it up. We have to take it, you see. Envy of God is nothing but pure love of God contaminated by the modes of material nature. That's all it is. You just have to reverse engineer your envy, Prabhu. Take your envy and reverse engineer it and go back to prema. That's all you got to do. Krishna consciousness is a process of reverse engineering, psychic reverse engineering. You just got to get back to your original pure state, you see, love of God. So we can't do it on our own. We have to follow the pathway of the Mahajanas. You cannot invent your own pathway back to Godhead because you're a conditioned soul. Any attempt you make to concoct your own pathway will be a failure. I guarantee you it will be a failure. Do not think otherwise. It will be a failure. Because we are conditioned souls. We cannot figure out our own way. We have to follow the pathway of the Mahajanas. Mahajano yena gatastha panta. We must follow the pathway of the Mahajanas. That's how we'll get up. And who is the greatest Mahajana? Srila Prabhupada. What is that pathway? How do I figure it out? You don't have to figure it out. Just read the books. Read Prabhupada's books regularly. Become expert in the science described in Prabhupada's books. Become expert in that science. It's not difficult. Regularly study and apply these teachings. Chant Hare Krishna, follow the regulated principles, take shelter of a bona fide spiritual master, dedicate your life to serve Prabhupada's ISKCON mission to the fullest of your capacity, and if you do this, you will realize Krishna. Krishna will personally reveal himself to you. That is a fact. Becoming successful in Krishna consciousness doesn't mean having a lot of followers. Some people think to be successful means you have to have a lot of followers. Now I'm successful because I have a lot of followers. But that's the delusion. You don't become successful in Krishna consciousness by having a lot of followers. Hitler had a lot of followers also. The Beatles had a lot of followers also. You see, having a lot of followers is karmic thing. To be successful in Krishna consciousness means you have one thing, and you have one thing only, you have Krishna. That's what it means. How do you have Krishna? How do you possess Krishna? Krishna will agree to be possessed by you to the degree, actually, that you agree to be possessed by Krishna. So how much are you willing to be completely sold out to Krishna? You understand my point? How much are you willing to be completely sold out to Krishna? My every thought has to be pleasing to Krishna. My every word has to be pleasing to Krishna. My every action must be pleasing to Krishna. Not for me, not for my enjoyment, but for Krishna's enjoyment. Sometimes neophyte devotees say, what's wrong here? I submitted to Krishna to be happy and now I'm miserable. What is the use of Krishna consciousness? Sometimes foolish neophytes say like that. That means they're taking Krishna consciousness as some kind of a business deal. Krishna, I will agree to surrender to you if you give me happiness. But that's not surrender. Surrender means, Krishna, now I am your surrender devotee. You can do what you want to with me. If you want to make me miserable, that's all right. You make me happy, that's all right. I'll take whatever you give me because now I am your surrender devotee. That's how you achieve true happiness, pure spiritual happiness. By willing to take happiness or distress, whatever Krishna gives me, that's all right. I'll take it. You see? That's how you achieve pure happiness. By not being fussy that Krishna has to do this for me or do that for me. You have to give up the fussy attitude of Krishna has to do this for me and do that for me. Instead of praying, you know, Krishna, I'm going to chant some extra round today because I'm going for a job interview and I'd really like to get the job, Krishna. So I'm going to chant a few extra rounds today because I'm going for an interview. Okay, Lord, you understand? What a nonsense is that? That's karmakanda. That's an offense against the holy name to use it for some material purpose. If you want to do well your job in it, you prepare nicely. That's your business. Don't ask Krishna to cover you up for being incompetent. You see? You become competent by your own sincere endeavor. And you pray to Krishna for pure love, that I can serve you with pure love in all circumstances. Simply, whatever you want me to do, my Lord, you see, don't take Krishna as your servant. You become the servant of Krishna. That is pure bhakti. And only such bhakti can satisfy the heart. As confirmed in the Srimad Bhagavatam, ahaitakiya pratiyata yayatma supersedati. Devotional service must be 24/7, you see, uninterrupted, and it must be ahaitaki, without any material motives. Only then supersedati can the one become fully satisfied. So, my dear ladies and gentlemen, you're very fortunate to have come in contact with Prabhupada's movement. Now try to understand fully what it means to become a pure devotee. And do that. Focus your life now on becoming a pure devotee. That's the goal. That's what you should be focused on. I must now become a Shuddha Bhakta, pure devotee of the Lord, you see. Because that's how you're going to relish the sweetest happiness at every minute. That's how you're going to qualify yourself to become an intimate companion of Krishna in his transcendental pastimes. So, there were some papers passed around. If anyone, we're going to have you write questions on the paper and then pass it forward. Any papers already written down? Any questions written already? If there's any questions already written, pass. Here comes one good. Pass that question forward, yeah. Okay, here we go. All right, here we go. It is well known, scriptural fact, hate the sin and not the sinner. Doing sinful activities by an evil man is the brightness properties for him. On the other hand, we also know that one can't eliminate the light from the sun. So how we hate the sin without involving the sinner or evil persons, Prabhu, it is my humble request, please throw some lights on it. So, well, how do we hate the sin but not the sinner? That's really what he's asking. Well, don't be so proud. I mean, we're all sinful. That's why we're here. We're all sinful people. That's why we're in this material world. So why don't you be a little compassionate, you know? We're all in the same boat. We've all been sinful. That's why we're here in the cycle of birth and death. So don't be, you know, have a holier-than-thou attitude. Yes, I'm a great saint, and this person's a rascal. No, we're all rascals. If you remember your position as a rascal, then well, you can be sympathetic with another poor rascal. Next question. Okay. How to make our guru happy? Some tips. This was asked by in Atlanta, Georgia, at a Sunday love feast when Prabhupada was there, I remember. Prabhupada, what pleases you the most? Prabhupada said, if you love Krishna. So try to love Krishna. Become a true lover of Krishna. That will please your guru more than anything. Shall we not approach Krishna for any material gain? Isn't it better to ask Krishna for something than approaching the demigod? Yes, if you're so deluded that you still think you should be asking for material things, then ask Krishna. If you're on that level, yes. If you're still so deluded, you think you have to ask Krishna. But I would ask this person who asked this question. When you were a kid growing up, did you have to ask your parents to feed you? My dear mother and father, will you feed me today? Did you ever ask your parents, any of you ever ask your parents, Mommy and Daddy, will you feed me today? Did any kid have to ask his parents, here's a kid, did you ask your parents every day, will they feed you? You ever ask Mommy and Daddy, will you feed me? Do you ever have to ask them that? Or do they feed you automatically? What is the answer? They feed you or you have to ask them to feed you? Please, mother and father, please feed me. Do you have to beg your parents to feed you or they do it out of love? They ask him to eat. Yes. So the parents will naturally feed the child. So do you think Krishna is not a loving parent? What kind of ignorance are you in? You think he's not a loving parent? He's not going to give you what you need? You have to ask him, please give me this, give me that. Don't be so foolish, please. You're supposed to be a human being, an adult person. And you don't even understand that God will take care of you? What kind of illusion are you in? You see, eko bahunam yovadadati kaman. It's confirmed in the Katha Upanishad. Krishna provides everyone their necessities. So you just try to serve Krishna. But if you're so deluded that you think you have to beg for your food, like the Christians say, dear God, please give us our daily bread. So if you're so deluded, you're thinking, dear God, please give me my daily chapatis. If you're so deluded, better to ask Krishna than to ask the demigods for your daily chapatis. But please, I mean, don't be less intelligent, you know. Who's qualified to wear the Kunti Mala? Well, you should definitely be following, you shouldn't be engaged in illicit activities. And you should definitely be seriously taking up this pathway, trying to advance in Krishna consciousness. Why should we not eat onion and garlic? They stink. You want to have bad breath? I mean, if you eat it, please stay away from me. They stink. And you want to feed that stink to Krishna? That foul, stinky stuff to Krishna? Don't you know it's stated directly in the Manusmriti that onions and garlic are not suitable for eating? It's right there in the scriptures. So please, keep your stinky food away from me. I don't want to be around people who have onions and garlic on their bed. And don't feed it to Krishna. How can a student serve Krishna for all day long? Well, before you study, you have to chant. First thing, get up early in the morning and chant your japa. First, you do your Krishna consciousness, and then you do your study. Then you have to plan. Of course, you're not making any money yet, but you have to plan. When I finally do start earning money, that money belongs to Krishna. You have to understand that. It's not your money. You're working hard to get a degree so you can make more money for Krishna, not for your sense enjoyment. You have to remember that. How to become a pure devotee? Everything is for Krishna and nothing else. How to control lust? If you learn how to love Krishna, your lust will go away. Can we ask help from Lord Krishna? Yes. Krishna, please help me to take shelter of you. Please bless me, I can chant your names purely. Please help me to always be enthusiastic in Krishna consciousness. You can pray to Krishna for those things which help you to be more Krishna conscious. That's very good. For example, the results of examination. No. Don't ask Krishna that. Please, Krishna, help me pass this exam. I mean, that's so bogus, you know. It's completely bogus. You're asking Krishna to serve you. I mean, it's disgusting. That means you didn't study hard enough. The whole semester you just, you know, you're lackadaisical. Instead of doing your studies, you spaced out, you talk Krishna, you talk some gramya gita. You wasted your time doing this and that. Now, right before the phone, he's saying, Krishna, please help me pass the exam. I mean, come on, don't be so irresponsible. Be a dutiful student. Study hard, write your papers, do everything you're supposed to do, and then pray to Krishna, my dear Lord, please bless me that I can be fully Krishna conscious while I take the exam. That's how you should pray. If you want to pray for your exam, Krishna, please bless me that I'll be fully Krishna conscious while I'm taking this exam. Now you can pray. How to become free from deep-rooted material desires in the heart. By carefully chanting these sweet names every day. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram. As a student, how can I completely surrender to Krishna as we have our own material family life to take care of? Well, if you can't make your family, if you don't have a, you have to make your family life Krishna conscious. Otherwise, you should be a brahmachari. Forget a family life. If you can't make your family life Krishna conscious, you should just be brahmachari sannyas. Otherwise, you see. Make your family life Krishna conscious. Turn your home into an ashram. Otherwise, you should just come move into the ashram. If you can't make your home an ashram, give up your home and live in the ashram. You see. If you can't make your home into an ashram, you give up your home and come live in the ashram. If you don't live in an ashram, you're an animal. You're simply an animal. You're not a human being. So make your home into an ashram. If you're attached to your wife and children, you better make them Krishna conscious. That's all I can say. You better make them Krishna conscious. Otherwise, you should become sannyasi. Get out of there as fast as you can. It's a pit of snakes. But if you're really determined, you can do that. My wife did that with her family members. She had one brother. He went to from Fiji. He went to the UK for medical studies, but he got into financial difficulties. So he figured out a way he could solve all his problems and get his degree. He converted to Christianity. And the Christians took good care of him, helped him get through school, take care of all of his needs. Correct me if I tell any details wrong. She knows the story better than... You want to tell the story? All right. So anyway, he became a Christian. And eating meat also. Probably not beef, but... Beef? No, but other meat, you know. Eating meat, but not beef. So, and he married a very nice lady from Kashmir. She was also... They were eating meat, you see. So they were in Sydney. And my wife was passing through Sydney. She went to Sydney for some reason. And she was going to stay in the temple. They said, no, you should come and stay with us. She said, I can't stay in any home where there is meat. I will not stay there because you have meat in your house. He said, okay, we'll get rid of all the meat. And they did that, and they never put the meat back. And now they're initiated devotees of Gopal Krishna Maharaj. I knew that would enliven you when you heard it was Gopal Krishna Maharaj. Your local big guru. So because she was determined that if you are meat eaters, I will not stay with you, I will stay in the temple. You see, she drew the line. No. If you want me in your home, get all the meat out of there right now. Otherwise, I'm not setting a foot in your home. She was very strong. And that strength brought them to Krishna consciousness. The strength of my wife, Vishnupriya Devi Dasi, brought her, the husband, the wife, and the kids, the whole family is Krishna conscious. The son also, the daughter is initiated. All the father, the mother, the brother, the son, and the daughter, they're all initiated devotees because my wife would not go to their home because they had meat in their house. So take a lesson from what my wife did, you see. Be strong. Don't be sentimental. Be strong in Krishna consciousness. If you show strength, that will help them to get out of Maya. Two, give up the fussy attitude. A question. How can we connect our material services to God? Give me some examples, please. Okay. You get that money, your paycheck, right? All right, that belongs to Krishna. You have to spend. You have to give as much as you can to the temple, the movement, to the preachers, and take what you need also for your needs. But you have to spend Krishna conscious way. You have to spend it. Don't buy foods that you can't offer to Krishna. Instead of buying some junk food made by karmis, you buy the raw ingredients and you, with love and devotion, you cook for Krishna in your home. You see? Don't buy some junk food that's advertised on the billboard or in the subway train, or the train, you know, some new crackers or something. You know, forget all that garbage made by karmis. You buy the raw ingredients and you cook them from scratch and love for Krishna. Don't spend your money on sense gratification. Give as much as you can to ISKCON and to the preachers. Somebody asked me, well, how much should I be? I said, well, actually, ideally, 50%. If you make 5,000 rupees a month, give 2,500 rupees to the temple every month. ideally. Now, if it's not practical, then 10% is what the Christians do. I was raised as a Christian boy, and we were taught to give 10%. The Christians, by giving 10% of their income to the church, have become very powerful all over the world by following the 10% rule. So if you can't give 50%, give 10%. If you make 5,000 rupees, give 500 rupees every month without fail to the temple, automatically, you see. So in this way, if we all pool our money, we can have beautiful big temples, not some little corner here where you have to come down this alley with all the, you know, some wonderful, beautiful mandir in this part of Delhi. Pool your money. Don't be stingy, you see. Sometimes they see people come to the temple, there's time to give an offering. They open their wallet, they pull out the smallest note they have in their wallet. There's 100, there's 50, there's 20, there's 10 and 5, and there's 1. They put the 1 in the plate. I mean, come on. Don't be a rascal. That's Krishna's money. You're just giving him $1? You have 100, 50, 20, 10, and 5, and you're giving them 1? I mean, just rascaldom. Be generous. You see, that's how you can engage your material duty in Krishna's service. As we know that ordinary people follow the activities of great people, so when I go to book distribution, people always ask about the relationship of Krishna and the gopis. Though I explained the elixir of bhakti, the gopis have with Krishna, but they want some more justification. In other words, they say, why is Krishna immoral? He's dancing with other men's wives. Even Radharani is the wife of Abhimanyu. Krishna is having an affair with a married woman. She's married to Abhimanyu, do you know that? Describe the nectar devotion. She's married to Abhimanyu. Krishna is having an affair with a married woman. And how can I follow such an immoral person? Better to follow Lord Ram, you see. That's what they say. But that is an illusion, because actually Krishna is the owner of everyone. Radharani is his own Shakti. She emanates from his transcendental body. She's his Ladini Shakti. These are all leelas, just to increase the sweetness of the relationship. She has to hide out from Abhimanyu to come and be with Krishna. It makes it more exciting, you see. Exciting pastime. So actually, everyone, you're criticizing Krishna for being immoral, for dancing with other men's wives, but sir, you're thinking that woman over there is your wife. That means you are a rascal. That wife does not belong to you, sir. She is the property of Krishna, as confirmed in Bhagavad Gita. Bhaktadam dukatamasam sarvadoka maheshvaram. So you are the immoral person. You are the rascal person, because you're thinking that wife belongs to you. You are the rascal, sir. And how you have the audacity to criticize that person who owns everything. Everything is his emanated energy. You have the audacity to criticize him? That means you have no... Where's your culture? You were never properly trained in your own Vaishnava, in your own Vedic culture. You're a complete ignorant fool, sir. Of course, you can candy coat it, you know. You're supposed to flatter them 100 times first before you lower the boom on them. Flatter them 100 times. The thing is, if you want to preach, you have to... They have to like you. If you want to preach to someone, see, if someone is faithless, you can't really preach to them, and you shouldn't. You should tactfully avoid it. But if somebody is faithful, then you can tell them everything. You can just pour the philosophy in. So how do you bring faithfulness to someone's heart so they're open to the philosophy? How do you do that? That's an important thing. They have to feel, they're not going to want to hear from you and learn from you unless they like you. And they're not going to like you unless they feel that you like them. So when you go for preaching, you have to be the friendliest person in the world. You have to reach out and people go, wow, this person's so friendly. He really likes me. My wife is angry at me. My kids are always complaining. The dog even barks at me. And this person likes me. Wow, somebody really likes me for a change. It really made my day, you know. So you have to be like that when you're out preaching. You have to just be an ocean of mercy, flooding them with love, you see. And then they'll open their heart up. Wow, there's someone really likes me. This is cool. I really like this. Somebody really cares about me. They really feel love for me. Wow, this is wonderful. And then they'll open up. And then you can teach them. You see, but just to tell them these things, it'll be offensive if they're not open. You have to help them open them up. Prabhupada, you see, you have to melt their hearts a little bit by your love, by your loving dealings. Vishnu Janaswami was like that. He made me a devotee. Prabhupada was the king of flooding people with love, you see. People were just charmed by Prabhupada. He was so amazing person. You just pour the mercy all over you. You never feel so much love. I used to write people letters sometimes. I even had a pen pal one time in Canada. I got different letters from people. But no one wrote a letter like Prabhupada. I got letters, I have about 10 letters from Prabhupada, and nobody poured so much love into a letter like Prabhupada could do, you see. So for preaching work, you have to be very, very kind and merciful and expressive so they actually feel that you care for them, and then they'll be willing to hear from you. Okay, we got, let's see here. Shall we not approach... Oh yeah, I already answered that one. Okay, well, looks like we're almost done here. Yeah, we're finished. Oh my goodness. Are you all getting up at... Who all is getting up at 3 o'clock in the morning tomorrow morning? Anybody? Anybody rising at 3 in the morning? No. Let's see, I'll bring... My wife and I are getting up at 3 in the morning. That's why we can't go so late. 2:30. Huh? 2:30. Yeah, it's actually 2:30. I overslept today. I got up at 3. That's why I said 3. She got up at 2:30, and I was just so exhausted I got up at 3 instead of 2:30. I was just so tired. I couldn't do it. Finally, at 3, I got out of bed. See? So we rise early. We have to do, before Mangal Arti, going down to the Mangal Arti in the temple room, I wake the deities, you see. We have a little Radha Krishna. I wake the deities at 4, so I get up early, do some chanting. So that's why we're not going to go late tonight. But I'll just try to squeeze a few in, maybe 5 or 10 minutes more. How to be patient in bhakti? You have to understand it takes time. It's like when a woman gets married, she can't expect a baby the next morning, right? She has to be patient. So we have to be patient. It takes time for Krishna to fully manifest. What are the precautions we should undertake to prevent spiritual association changing into material association? Always keep Krishna in the center. How to differentiate between Krishna's service and our own karma duties? That's why you have a guru, to make sure you're on the track. And you have temple authorities also. You have counselors also, those who can guide you. Sometimes chanting becomes irregular and disturbed. How to know this disturbance is due to laziness or due to Vaishnava param? Laziness is a Vaishnava param. The disobeying Prabhupada. Prabhupada said, don't be a lazy fellow. If you're lazy, you're disobeying Srila Prabhupada. So laziness is an aparam. How can it be solved? I asked a sannyasi one time, because I consider myself very lazy, coming from the hippie movement. I consider myself very lazy. So I knew it wasn't good, so I asked Prabhupada, I asked one sannyasi, how to overcome laziness? And he said, very profoundly, he gave two-word answer. He said, by love. That was all he said. And I went, wow, how profound. And it's true. If you love somebody, you're not working anymore for them. You're just expressing your love for them by your activities. It's not work. If you don't love somebody, if you hate your job, it's drudgery, right? If you love your job, it's nectar. So by love, you overcome laziness. If you don't have love, it's just sheer drudgery. You see. Today, India is ruled by all demoniac people who are making people atheistic non-believers and causing more miseries. Can we pray to Krishna to send some devotee who can take care of us like Krishna and Sri? Yes. Actually, there's a prayer you can pray. Very nice prayer. Svastiyastu vishvasha kala prasidatam dayanta bhutani shivang matodraya manashtabhajang vaditam vadokshaje naveshitam. Naveshitam, something, forget the last line. Let me start again. Svastiyastu vishvasha kala prasidatam dayanta bhutani shivang matodraya manashtabhajang vaditam vadokshate aveshitam no matarapya haitaki. Prahlad Maharaj, very nice prayer. May there be good fortune throughout the entire universe. May all envious persons become pacified. May everyone become calm by engaging in bhakti yoga, because by engaging in devotional service, they will always think of each other's welfare. Therefore, let everyone engage in the service of the Supreme Transcendence, Lord Sri Krishna, and always remain absorbed in thoughts of Him. So if you're disturbed by the politics, you're disturbed by the atmosphere, here's a great prayer for you. To pray for that everybody can become free of envy and become blessed with Krishna praying. You can pray that prayer whenever you get disturbed by looking at it, Delhi, you can pray that prayer. And if you don't remember the prayer, just chant Hare Krishna, you get have the same benefit. But memorize that one, it's a good prayer. If anyone is falling down, they continue deep to deep, so how come back in devotional service. Someone's falling down and they want to come back, you have to help them. So I love, by association, can bring them back. How can we control our mind when wrong thoughts come into our mind? You have to spit at the thought. It's described in the Bhagavad Gita. When a dirty thought comes, just spit at the thought. Get out of here, you rascal thought. I don't want you. Get out. Just get out. Leave me. I just want to think about Krishna. Lord Jesus was tempted, he was fasting, and the personified evil came to him, Satan. He said, Satan, get behind me. Get out of here, Satan. That's what Jesus said when he was tempted by evil thoughts. Satan, get behind me. You see. So just, Ramanacharya, Almandru, he would spit at the thought of material sense gratification. What decides our next life? Our karma in this life, our desire. Either your karma or your bhakti. One of the two. Should we ask our reason for Krishna's existence? Sure. Krishna exists for the sheer pleasure of it. He doesn't do it to satisfy the Indian government. He exists for the sheer pleasure of it. And the Gita says, I'm just going to do two more. And then we'll wrap it up. And the Gita says that worship for devotional service is better than worship by keeping ourselves away from material possessions. Please explain. We're not averse to material possessions. They can all be used for Krishna. How to keep our retained faith in devotional devotees and the process of Krishna consciousness forever? You be an ideal devotee, that's all. And you'll have and help encourage everyone else to be ideal, and you never lose faith. All things belong to Krishna, then why should we spend money on Krishna? That's why you should do it. It's Krishna's money. They say, why not feed the poor? Why should I give money to the temple? Feed the poor. Well, you're feeding, deliver them from the cycle of birth and death. You want to feed them prasadam. The thing is, our poverty, the real poverty of every single person on this planet is a lack of Krishna consciousness. You may give them some clothes, some food, some money, but if they don't have Krishna consciousness, they're going to become dogs and cats in their next life. What is the value of your welfare, sir? They'll all be going down into the animal kingdom. What have you done to save them? If you want to save people, you spend money to make beautiful temples where people can come and distribute books, where people can get educated and become attracted to the beautiful form of the Lord. That's welfare work. Don't be misled by this sentiment, you know, Manu Seva, Prabhu Seva. Don't be misled by this stupid sentiment based on sense gratification. You see? It's the other way around. Prabhu Seva, Manu Seva. When you serve God, then you're serving man. When you water the root of the tree, all the leaves and branches are nourished. So when you serve Krishna, you're the best servant of every single person in the whole universe. So we'll stop here. You want to add something? Yes, actually serving man is serving God if you know how to actually serve him properly by bringing him to Krishna consciousness. You want to serve your neighbor, you want to serve your family, you want to serve the beggar, you want to serve everyone, make them Krishna conscious. Then you're the best servant of your nation, the best servant of God. You see? Make them Krishna conscious. They are dying in the cycle of birth and death. They have evolved with great difficulty, they have come to the human form, and now they are spoiling it by engaging in wholesale sense gratification. Please, please, please save these people. Give them Krishna consciousness. They're dying without it. Give it to them. You see? This is welfare work. Okay, we'll stop here. Thank you very much. Srila Prabhupada ki jai.